This is episode 77 with Sandy Masori.
I don't do ghostwriting, and I want to define ghostwriting as I do help people to pull the book out of their head, but, you know, and we'll send it through editing and everything, but I'm not going to write it for them. I feel that it's really, really important that if you're writing an author, like an expert book, that it's in your voice. You know, that when you go and you know, you're on media and somebody says, well, what were you talking about in chapter five? You better know what chapter five is. And it better be, you know, from your head. So for my authors, you know, it's really important that your book is your story, your expertise, your philosophies on it, because otherwise, what's the point?
Welcome to the Drive to Succeed podcast.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Drive to Succeed podcast. If it's your first time tuning in today, my name is Daniel, the host of the show. This podcast exists to bring you new knowledge, wisdom, and truth in the world of entrepreneurship and self-development. Today's guest is a best-selling author, formerly known as America's Top Balloon Expert. She wears many hats throughout her career, from being a professional balloon artist, marketer, educator, serial dieter, mother, and TV personality. She's also a book authority strategist for the past 9 years, and in this episode, we cover how to become a published author and position yourself as an expert and authority in your field. What is the number one advantage of becoming a published author? Is there even a difference between traditional publishing and self-publishing? What is a step-by-step process that an inspiring author like you can do today to write his or her first book? How long is the overall process looks like from ideation to writing the manuscript and publishing and promoting it? How can you build a brand and a pre-launch strategy to make sure that you generate enough buzz throughout the launch of your book? The secrets on how you become a bestseller in different categories and many more. Before I send you off, make sure to share this episode to your friend, to your family member, to your colleague. If it's your first time here or if you haven't yet subscribe to the Drive to Succeed podcast in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click that subscribe button right now. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. And now, let's welcome Sandy Masori.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
You're welcome, Sandy. So today's episode is all about how to become a published author and be labeled as an expert and authority in your field. But before we deep dive into this topic, can you give us a little bit of context? Who is Sandy Masori?
Yeah, wow, that's a really big question. I'm a lot of things. But I think for purposes of this podcast, maybe I'll just kind of give you a little bit of history of how it is that I went from being a balloon expert to being an author and an author maker, because I know that sounds like things that don't normally go together. But basically what happened was back in 2009, something like that, I started taking a lot of marketing courses and going to marketing conferences to promote my balloon company, Balloon Utopia, and make sure that I kept the great rankings that I was enjoying from Google, you know? So I started going to all these marketing conferences. I started doing the things that they told me to do. And one of those things was to start a YouTube channel and to make videos answering questions about my industry, right? So I did that. I like being on camera, so that wasn't a big deal. And then a couple of years later, I was at one of the conferences and there was somebody speaking on the stage and he was talking about podcasting, actually. And so he just kind of like, it wasn't even the topic of his talk. He just kind of threw out a line about, oh yeah. And then I wrote a book answering people's questions. And I thought, oh, I could do that. I've already made the videos. So that became this book right here. The Ultimate Guide to Inflating Your Trade Show Profits, How to Increase Branding Recognition, Visibility, Customer Loyalty, and Attract More Attention with Balloons. Basically in this book, I was speaking directly to my clients. At the time, I was really focused on trade shows and corporate events. And the thing was that as a balloon artist, I really had a problem that when I would tell people what I would do, they'd be like, oh, balloons, that's so cute. So you're a clown. And I was like, no, actually, I do like really big events. So that was why I wrote this book, right? So here's what happened after I wrote this book. A couple of things, some that I expected and had hoped for, and some that I totally didn't expect. So first of all, you know, we have that same conversation. Oh, you're a clown. No, I do big events. And then I would hand them a copy of my book. Oh, here, let me gift you a copy of my best-selling book, right? And this is what they always do with it, right? They always look at the book, yeah. Like, oh, wow, it has a title. Like, there's really something on the cover. And wow, I can feel it, you know? Then they, like, look at the spine. And then they see the ISBN, like, oh, wow, there's really an ISBN number. And then they kind of flip through it, like, wow, there's stuff printed on the page. And then they go, you wrote this? Which I always find the funniest question. My name's on the cover, you know? Like, no, the balloon guy down the street wrote it. And then they literally looked at me differently. Literally, in that moment, I could see them reevaluating me from a clown to an author. A huge difference in the conversations that we had. And after that, it was no longer, oh, why are you more expensive than the guy down the street? It was, I want to work with you. You're the expert, and here's my budget. Can you make that work? Right? A totally different conversation. So the quality of my clients completely changed, right? I started getting booked on TV shows, you know, as a balloon expert, things like that. So those were the intended positive consequences, right? I mean, those were the things that I was hoping would happen when I wrote the book. But what I didn't expect was that then people started asking me to help them with their books. And, I've been a teacher and a coach and, whatever. I mean, my first career, I was an elementary school teacher. So when people started asking me to help them with their book, I was like, yeah, okay, sure. So the first book that I helped somebody else with, she's a cancer doctor, and her book was 32 Ways to Outsmart Cancer. And then she started, you know, giving my name to other people. So all of a sudden, I kind of like accidentally developed this side professional hobby of helping people publish books. So basically, I was doing both things concurrently, right? I mean, really, you know, the books were my professional hobby. The balloons were, you know, my life at that time. Yeah. I proceeded to write another 5 books about balloons, another one that was written for my clients, and then 4 recipe books that basically, you know, tell how to make different designs. And then, of course, each one is complemented by a video on YouTube, and continue to help people with their books. I mean, to date, I've lost count, but it's well over 200 authors that I've helped self-publish their books. And then what happened is I got divorced. My ex-husband and I had been working together. And when we got divorced and he left the country for a while, I was left like really... I had a lot of emotions tied into the balloons. You know, we had done so many jobs together that when I would go on a job, it was like ghosts of arguments past, you know? And so I started to lose my passion for the balloons. It just didn't feel as good to me. I wasn't excited. You know, I would get a client calling for a $10,000, $15,000 job, which in the past would be like, oh, wow. But then, you know, it was kind of like, oh, God, I have to do this. But I found myself getting really excited about doing category research for a client's book, about, you know, going through and, and checking it to make sure that the Kindle formatting was right. And I mean, these things like to somebody else might sound so mundane, but they really excited me. And so that's when I began the transition from moving away from the balloons and moving full time into the books. And it was a weird transition, because so much of my identity was like, you know, I was America's top balloon expert, right? I was literally at the top of the mountain, right? Everything I wanted was coming true. And then it was like, you know, if you can imagine, you're like at the top of the mountain, you're like, yeah, okay, I'm done. You know, but that's really kind of how it felt. And then my ex-husband came back to San Diego. And so I sold him the business and let him take over the balloons and then fully dived into just doing the book. So that's where we are now, is helping experts self-publish their business authority books or memoirs and helping them drive it to bestseller on Amazon. And then, you know, of course, being the entrepreneur that I am, you know, I'm collecting other hobbies. So I just started learning how to cook. So probably there's a cookbook in my future. And then, of course, my latest book is Book It, which is a book about writing and publishing your book. And if you don't mind, if I can just give a little plug, you can get this for free on my website.
Wow. I think it's expertbookforyou.com.
Correct. Expertbook4U.com. And it's just a download. You don't have to pay $7 for me to send it to you. You can just download the digital copy and enjoy it. You know, I hope that it answers people's questions and helps make the process easier for them.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy. It was quite an interesting journey, actually, that you shared. Yes. It feels like, you know, when someone reach an enlightenment, they go up on the top of the mountain and say, like, all right, maybe this is not the thing that I'm supposed to do. So I go down the mountain and do something that really excites me the most. So I think that's similar to your story as well. Now that you published 200 authors and helped them become bestseller in Amazon, I'm just really curious. Do you find like patterns on certain authors, like which one will be a bestseller, which one will be not? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can help anybody become a bestseller, right? That's just a matter of strategy. The bigger question is long-term, what is that book going to do for them? And so this is the thing that, you know, when somebody contacts me and they say, oh, you know, I want to publish a book. My very first question to them is, okay, what do you want this book to do for you? Right? And everybody's always really surprised because they think I'm going to ask, what do you want? The second question is, what do you want your reader to get out of the book? Yes, that is important. That's the second question. The first question, though, is what are you hoping to get out of the book, right? Because there's a very different strategy if you're hoping to make your money on the book, which means that you're hoping to make money from the book sales versus making money through the book. That is that you're hoping to make money by leveraging the expert status that being an author gives you. And so the clients that come and they're really hoping that they're going to be the next J.K. Rowling, that, you know, that their book is, that their life story is going to be picked up by Hollywood and turned into a movie. I need to give those clients a reality check because I can't guarantee that. That's a function of your continued book marketing. That's a function of the network that you've built and things like that. Whereas the clients that come to me and they say, okay, you know, I want to write a book. I want to publish a book because, you know, I want to train my clients, because I want to speak on stages, because I want to, you know, get on TV, because I want to be able to gift it to people, right? These are people that are looking to make money through the book. And these are the people that I can help the best.
Interesting. And yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Like most people, when they maybe read Harry Potter or maybe like Tony Robbins, who sold millions and millions in the books, like, all right, so I'm going to be the next Tony Robbins. But most people, when before they actually publish a book, who are like authority experts in our, you know, in any industry, they actually talk about a certain message for many years before they even publish a book. That's helped them position, you know.
Right.
So I'm just really curious, is there an advantage becoming a published author versus who is not a published author?
Yeah, definitely. So I think in my opinion, if you go back to like the year 2000, right? If you had a website back then, you were a big deal. You were like, oh, wow, you're really a big company. You have a website. You're official. Nowadays, if you talk to a company and you're like, oh, okay, what's your website? And they're like, oh, well, I don't have a website. You're like, are you really a company? Like, are you official? And I think that the book is going that same way. Like right now, if you are an author, it, just like I was telling you about my journey, it instantly jumps the level of where people see you, right? When they're trying to figure out how serious you are about your industry, about your craft, about your whatever profession, right? And where you stand in it. Once you're able to say, oh yeah, and you know, here's my book. And an ebook is not enough, right? I mean, obviously, we definitely want the digital book. We want it in Kindle. We want it in Audible. We want it wherever people are going to be able to access it and read it. But there is a huge power to be able to hand somebody your three-dimensional book that they can touch and feel, or, you know, or to send it or whatever. And it instantly elevates you. It's really quite unbelievable. The way that it changes people's perception of who you are and where you stand in the industry. And then, like I mentioned before, in terms of getting media, if you know, even to get on TV, to get on podcasts, to speak on stages, right? All of those people need to be able to justify, why are you the one that's on that stage, that's on that camera, that's in that seat, right? So what do you have to offer that somebody else doesn't? Well, to be able to say I'm an author, I'm a best-selling author, is a huge credit and justifies you having that seat.
Interesting, interesting. And yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Even most of my guests on my podcast, most of them have their own book as well. And sometimes I feel like if I'm an audience, all right, so another best-selling book author, bestseller, New York Times, or, you know, whatever. But one thing that frustrates an audience the most, or, you know, even someone like me, is that when I discovered, you know, maybe someone who published their own book and they call themselves as a best-selling author, but when you dig deeper to the type of content they produce, it's almost like recycled or regurgitated and it's not original. So what are your thoughts on that as a book authority strategist? How do you make sure that your client, you know, starts, you know, even writes their own original content or at least add their own spin into it?
I don't do ghostwriting. And I want to define ghostwriting as I do help people to pull the book out of their head, but, you know, and we'll send it through editing and everything, but I'm not going to write it for them. I feel that it's really, really important that if you're writing an author, like an expert book, that it's in your voice. You know, that when you go and you know, you're on media and somebody says, well, what were you talking about in chapter five? You better know what chapter five is. And it better be, you know, from your head. So for my authors, you know, it's really important that your book is your story, your expertise, your philosophies on it, because otherwise, what's the point? I'm really not a fan of like, oh yeah, just go get a white paper and, you know, doctor it up. Like, I really think that if you're an expert, you know this stuff, right? And look, I don't think that the book, especially a business authority book, it does not need to be an encyclopedia. In fact, it's better if it's not, right? I mean, something that's nice and easy to carry around is much more palatable than a giant thick book that doesn't fit anywhere, right? And I don't think that it needs to be highly sophisticated, right? I mean, it doesn't need to be a college dissertation or an academic essay. You want something that is going to be easily digestible and that can be read by, you know, even somebody with a third or fourth grade education, right? You want to keep it simple. And you want to get your points across. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that books can be done easily and quickly. Like the way that I did my first book was answering questions, right? I just took the questions that I heard the most about balloons. And then I also took the questions that I really wished people would ask, but they didn't know enough to ask. And so that was kind of where I started with the framework of my book, right? To give this information. So like I said, I mean, the first question is, what do you want the book to do for you? The second question is, what do you want your reader to get out of the book? Because you want a book that you're going to be proud of, right? You want a book that when somebody reads it, they're not like, oh, what, somebody, like, what is the point? You want a book that you're going to feel good about. And so I think that's really important. And I believe that, you know, anybody who is an expert in their field should be easily able to do it once they get past the intimidation of the blank page.
Understood. And speaking of blank page, like, how do you like help? You mentioned already framework processes. I think this is one of the things our audience like would love to know about. Maybe some of the audience are, you know, probably listening and say like, I'm ready to write a book. Or maybe some of them are like just on the fence of starting to conceptualize even a book. Like, what is your process looks like? How long does it take from idea to, you know, publish and promote?
Yeah. So the timeline is different for everyone, but with most of my clients, we start with a brain dump, right? Let's just get everything out of your head and into some format on paper without judgment, without censoring it. You know, the first thing is just let's dump it all out there. And then we can organize it and we can, you know, create a hierarchy and we can say, oh, you know what? This really doesn't belong with these other things. This might be a separate book. Or, oh yeah, you know what, this really is a subtopic of this thing over here. Let's group those together, right? So we kind of create those topic lists. There's the question method, right? That you, like I did with my first book, that you can go through the questions that you really want people to have the answers to. This is especially good for doctors or people in highly technical fields or things like that, where there's a lot of confusion. And then there's also interviews, right? I mean, if you don't have to do it all on your own. You can interview other people in your field that you really respect and bring their voices into your book. So those are other ways that you can do it. But here's my biggest secret weapon. If somebody's not comfortable as a writer, it's your cell phone, right? Because here's the thing. Once you create your topic list, once you get your outline or your hierarchy, you can take it just one topic a day. And for some of my clients that really need it, like broken down even more, I say, okay, take your topics, write them on, you know, small pieces of paper, and then put them into like a candy bowl. And then every day or every time you have a few minutes, pick a topic, pull out your cell phone, and you can just make a voice memo or a, you know, a little selfie video talking about that one topic. Then you can get that transcribed. And now we're not done, because the way we speak is different than the way that we write, right? So editing is really important. You cannot step the editing step. But what I always tell my clients is that writing a book is 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. So first, let's get that inspiration piece out of the way, right? We're not going to edit while we're in the creative mode, because we want flow. We want the ideas to come out of us. We want to get out our knowledge. And then when we take those transcripts and we go through them, then we need to edit it, and we need to turn it from oral discourse, you know, into a written discourse. Then we need to make sure that we're using full sentences. We need to make sure that we're supporting our arguments. We need to make sure that if we have holes in it, that we go back and we write the story that we like interrupted ourselves and forgot to tell, right? So I recommend that, you know, if you're not just writing, if you're doing it through through transcripts, through videos, things like that, that after you go through it very, very carefully, that then you send it to some friends or other people in your industry, that they can go through it and find holes in it. And then once you've done that, then it's time to send it to a professional editor. So that's really kind of the, you know, the 10 second standing on one foot version of how to create that book without getting really frustrated of like, oh my God, I'm trying to come up with the perfect first line, you know, come up with the first line after you get out the main content.
Understood. Well, thank you so much. I think that was quite a lot. I mean, for some people who doesn't have a background, like creating content or even publishing, that can be overwhelming. But for someone who maybe creates something, that can be like a very, very good process to start from, like brain dump. I really love that idea. And you don't edit it while you're still on creative mode. Because in most cases, even I, let's say, for instance, I write copy for content. There are times where I edit myself during the writing process. Thus, you know, it should be like more easier, but it takes me longer because I was editing it myself out instead of just like brain dumping it, you know?
Yeah. And then going back to it. That's why the candy jar works really well for people that really have no experience with creating content, because it brings it into, okay, that's it. It's just this one topic, right? Today, I'm just going to talk about balloons in the heat, and I'm just going to riff on that. And, you know, so that way you're not overwhelmed with all 30 different things that you want to talk about.
And one of the things that you mentioned before we start recording, you mentioned about like categories. You help authors rank in different categories. Like most people doesn't know that you can rank more than one category. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, because I know there's a difference between, you know, becoming a best-selling author in New York Times versus Amazon. And in Amazon, it's all about algorithm, number of purchases between a minimum time frame. If that can be hacked, what I mean is that, does it have like some sort of credibility, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, so I think that it's really important that the categories are congruent. So I have seen that there are people that will put a book into a ridiculous category, but a finance book does not belong in underwater basket weaving. A finance book belongs in finance categories. So I think that, you know, a really big part of the strategy is to be aware of what else is happening. Like, for example, if you're in finance, you don't want to release a book the same week that Suze Orman released a book, right? I mean, you're chasing a moving target there. So to really be aware of what else is happening in that space, what books are coming out, you know, what larger books are coming out that you might be competing against, things like that. The other thing that I think is that it's really important that the book is actually sold. I don't consider it a bestseller if it's done as a free book.
Understood.
There's a lot of great reasons to put the book for free later, right? In terms of reaching your audience, getting reviews, things like that. But in order for the book to become a bestseller, it has to be sold. So I think that there's an amazing opportunity that's presented to authors with Amazon and with the way that the algorithms work and the way that they update very frequently, in that it's much more accessible than, say, New York Times or something like that. You know, really, it's very, very difficult for a self-published author to make that list. Not impossible, but very difficult, right? Because the big publishing houses have a lot more sway, a lot more experience, a much wider distribution network of where those books can be purchased, and, let's be honest, a much bigger marketing machine. So I think in this way, it's a really great thing that Amazon levels the playing field a little bit. Are there people that are putting their finance book in underwater basket weaving? Yes. But I think they're going to have to answer to their audience, right? I mean, I think that if you write a book that's really, pardon my expression, crap, it's not going to look good on you, right? It's going to do the opposite of what you want, because when you give that book to somebody and somebody reads it, they're going to be like, well, this is ridiculous. And then it's going to bring, you know, they will look down on you, not up at you. So I think that's important that your work has integrity. You know, I think that's something that an author needs to take on themselves to make sure that they're putting out something they can be proud of.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm just really curious as well. So you mentioned about ranking, you mentioned about being on Amazon comes like a level playing field, because obviously I think when you are more of like a traditional published author, you know, the marketing or even the publicity needs to come in years before even you started publishing. I think even, I don't know if you know Jay Shetty.
Sure.
So before he published, I think his book, like Think Like a Monk, he was like talking about it for months and months. I don't know, it's almost a year or 6 months. And, you know, when the book come out, and obviously people are have been hearing it for months. So I think it's like a good strategy as well. But I'm just really curious. So you mentioned ISBN. Is it related to IP, like mm-hmm. intellectual property? Or how is it important you having an ISBN? Is it important when you're just only targeting to be in Amazon, or, you know? I want to take a quick moment to inform you that our free guide on how to start a podcast is now up on our website on thedrivetosucceed.com/guide. If you're someone who wanted to start a podcast but don't know where to start, what type of equipment do I need to have to record and publish and promote my podcast? What type of format or guest do I need to have on my show? And you don't know where or how to do it, just please go to the website and download the guide, and it's absolutely free. Again, the link is thedrivetosucceed.com/guide. And now let's get back to the rest of the episode.
The ISBN is basically the barcode that you'll find on the back of any published book. It's essentially the locator number and, you know, kind of the, the serial code for that book. So it's impossible to publish a book without an ISBN. It used to be that it was very expensive to buy ISBNs. Nowadays, it's not very expensive, and all of the places where you can self-publish will give you an ISBN, although that does put you under their imprint, which for 99.9% of authors, it doesn't matter what imprint you're under, right? So Barnes & Noble, for example, they'll give you an ISBN if you're self-publishing under them. Amazon will give you an ISBN if you're self-publishing through them. And now, so will Ingram. So it's not hard to get an ISBN. Now, if you want, you can also buy your own ISBN through Boker. And that way it will have your name or your company name or, you know, as the publisher of record on the imprint. To me, it's kind of a vanity thing. Like, it doesn't really affect the performance of the book if your ISBN is from Amazon or you privately purchased your ISBN. So, you know, I have some clients that it's really important to them to have their own ISBN. And of course, I support them. And then a lot of clients just want to do it the easy way, right? And that is Amazon makes it available. Use the Amazon ISBN.
And in your experience, like being a published author, because obviously there's a lot of books being published, you know, every day, right? Like even in the business, I forgot what the number is, but, you know, there's a huge tons, especially business book that are being published. Now, my question is, if an author published their book today, like how long does it have like a bookshelf lifespan? Because, you know, it's not like online where 10 years later you can still search for it. If it's a book and you publish it, let's say today, you probably only have like 100 print run or 200 print run, then, you know, how long does it have a shelf life, you know, this kind of stuff?
I think it really depends. I mean, so I'm going to go back to the example of this book. The shelf life of this book, when I originally wrote it, was 2 weeks. I wrote the book. There was a chapter where I was comparing CreateSpace to Ingram. And literally 2 weeks later, CreateSpace was absorbed by KDP and no longer existed. You know, I had to put out the second edition right away because I had to make that change and talk about how there was no more CreateSpace. Now it was absorbed into KDP and make the comparison between KDP and Ingram. So I think it really depends on the topic of your book and the timeliness of it. Now, I have had authors who came to me and they said, oh, I wrote this book, you know, a few years ago. And now I just, you know, I just want to make it relevant again. And to them, I say, well, then, you know, let's dust it off. Let's come out with a second edition. Let's write a new forward that brings it back current. And especially now, right? I mean, depending on your industry, what you're trying to say, but a really easy way to bring your book current is to add some language about the impact of COVID, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, COVID's affected everybody. So if your book is talking about dial-up internet service, you know, you've probably more than reached your shelf date. So I really think it depends on topic. You know, this book, for example, this is a recipe book. It doesn't need update. Nothing's going to change because it's, you know, it's a book of how to make this design, how to make that design, right? So it really depends on what your topic is, on what your book shelf life is.
Understood. So would you recommend like going into how-tos kind of thing? Because it's more like evergreen or something like that, or?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on your industry, right? If you're an insurance specialist, a how-to is not, I mean, what are you going to write a how-to about? How to buy insurance? Like, you know, I mean, you probably want more of the Q&A type of book. So it really depends what you do. I mean, on the other hand, if you're a chef, you know, a how-to cookbook, absolutely. That's what everybody wants from you, right? They don't want to know how to eat. They want, you know, or they want to know, how do I make this amazing food? So it really depends what your topic is.
Understood. And when you, this is just before we almost end the show, when you work with clients, because maybe some clients, they're really good with their content, right? Maybe they have things that, okay, so this topic can be a second book or a third book. Do you plan out with them, all right, maybe this idea that you're talking about can be divided into 3 books? Is there come to a point like that?
Yes. So again, I'm really in favor of an ideal book length is maybe between 120 to maybe 160 pages. If your book is going to be 350 pages, you need a really good reason for it to be that long, because that's a really big burden on somebody to carry around. So again, I'm going to go back to this book of mine. This is a very thick book, but it's not a book that you're reading start to finish. It's a reference book, right? It's recipes. You're going to look at it when you need something. So you're not going to carry this around, right? I mean, when you're trying to plan for an event, you're going to, just like a cookbook, you're going to go and you're going to pick what you're looking for and you're going to read that one thing, right? You're not necessarily going to do it start to finish. So I do have clients that are doing topics that are much heavier that I will recommend them, like, you know what? I really think this is a 3-part series. You know, here we have this section here. That's one book. Now you go in and you're talking about this other thing here. I think that's a second book. And this is a third book. So, you know, why don't we do this as 3 books? Why don't we release the books quarterly? That way you get more momentum. You get more, you know, time to really bring your audience into it. A lot of your audience might not discover you until the second or third book. And you also have a natural way to keep touching them. That's not, you know, hitting them over the head or spammy. So again, I mean, so many of these things depend on what is your topic, who is your audience, what are you trying to convey?
And do you have like a pre-launch strategy before, you know, publishing the book, just to make sure that it ranks properly?
Yeah, I really encourage my authors to get their tribe involved from the minute that they start planning the book, right? People want to feel a part of it. People are excited to be a part of people's journey to success. So as soon as you decide, hey, I'm going to write a book, start talking about the process in social media. Start talking about it when you're sending your newsletters. Like, guys, I'm really excited. Today I met with my coach, or today I started the first page of my book. And okay, so far I only have the title, and wow, this is such an overwhelming journey, but I am going to do this, and bring your audience into it. So that when the time comes to do the launch, whether you do it as a pre-release or whether you, you know, do the launch when the book is actually available, your audience has a personal stake in your journey and they want you to succeed. So then you're not like begging them, oh my God, guys, please, can you buy my book? Because they already want to and they're ready for it. So I think it's definitely really important. And I also think that if you can create I call it a tripod, you know, your authority tripod with, you know, you should have videos or be in social media in some way, right? I personally like YouTube. Maybe you want to do TikTok or Instagram stories, or maybe you do Facebook Lives, but you should have something that you're doing on video. You should be doing media and then your book, you know, so that you have those three legs that are really going to prop you up for that, your authority persona, I guess, your authority package.
Honestly. So just to recap, said that tripod is all about having you talk on social media, either video, Instagram, YouTube, as well talk on media. And the last part is the book, and make sure that you bring in your tribe, that you talk about it, talk about the process, let them have a stake in the process and, you know, maybe contribute. I think one of the things that really works as well in social, just talking about that, or even any type of content, is like crowdsourcing like ideas. What are the topics do you want me to talk about, or the type of problems that you may have that I can answer towards the book, so something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're doing a question book, like, hey guys, I'm writing a book on writing a book. What are your biggest questions? You know, another thing too is let them see the struggle, right? You don't have to be perfect all the time. Like, wow, guys, today I sat down to write and my mind went blank. And, you know, I sat there and I stared at the page for 45 minutes before I was able to finally get something out. Has that ever happened to you? You know, because again, it doesn't just, I think that when you bring your tribe into the journey, not just the topic, you know, it just adds to that know, like, and trust factor, right? It makes you more relatable. Like, who doesn't have something that they struggle with? And to see somebody else going through that struggle and coming out the other end successful is very inspiring.
Well, before we end the show as well, Sandy, thank you so much for all the wisdom, the processes and the steps that actually I was writing while you were, you know, telling me about it. And obviously our audience would love to as well. Sandy, where can people find you? I know we already mentioned it on the book, but aside from, you know, can you just repeat the website? Are you active on social? Where can they best reach you as well?
Yeah. So my website is expertbook4u.com. And that's where you can download a free copy of Book It, a book about...
Is it available globally?
Nope, it's available globally because it's a download, so I don't have to ship anything. So you can just download the PDF. And the book is organized that the beginning of it is just, you know, kind of the simple how-tos, and then the rest is some interviews with some of my clients on the process that they use, because each of them had some different challenges. Each of them had a little bit of a different process. So that will also help answer the question, you know, for people who have never done content creation, they might find some inspiration in those other stories of how people got it done. And then I have a YouTube channel, Sandy Missouri Presents. And, you know, there's a lot of different things going on that channel, to be honest. There's, you know, it started off as my balloon channel and it's kind of been evolving. So you're going to see interviews with some of my authors there. I'm going to be starting a new cooking show. You'll see my new cooking show, which is now in pre-production. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. You can find me on LinkedIn. I mean, if you Google me, I'm everywhere.
Yeah. It's really quite interesting as well, because like the first time I contacted you, I was like, all right, so she's a balloon artist, you know, the American balloon expert, and then, you know, becoming a book author strategist. But yeah, guys, for our audience today that are listening, go download the book at expert4u.com. Download the PDF. You can check also Sandy on LinkedIn or on YouTube. Upcoming also some cooking show. I hope to, you know, our audience would also be delighted how your journey would, you know, process into. So Sandy, before my last and final question, I just want to acknowledge you for sharing your journey, your wisdom. It was so lovely talking to you. I know there's a lot of like unscripted things that happen during the podcast that makes it like really, you know, really fun and authentic and as well enjoyable to the audience as well. So my last and final question to you, Sandy, if everything is stripped away from you, right? Obviously, you already sold your balloon business to your husband, but if everything is stripped away from you and you got to start all over again? Like, you reach the peak of the mountain, you're going to go back down. You know, what would be your main drive to succeed?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of doing that with my cooking journey. So up until about a month and a half ago, I did not cook, period. And so I was at a fitness camp, and I found the food really delicious, and I thought, I should learn how to do this. And so basically the way that I'm going about educating myself and becoming, you know, going from non-cook to, you know, the journey to chef, although not in a restaurant, but is by interviewing experts, by getting people to teach me, by searching for mentors who have done it and can, you know, teach me how to take a recipe that might not be healthy and change some of the ingredients to make it healthy, or who can teach me about flavor profiles. So I think my approach to anything is, if I had to start all over in anything, I'm going to look for the people who can help me start, who can hold my hand, who have done it before and can mentor me and give me advice. If I'm able to hire people even, so on my production journey, you know, working on producing the show, I've reached out to directors and producers and said, hey, can I hire 2 hours of your time? Can I hire you for 2 hours to ask you some questions? And some of them give me a price and let me hire them. And some of them say, oh, you know, a couple of hours. I'm more than happy to talk with you. So I think that's the first thing that I would recommend to do, is look for people that are doing what you want to do and reach out and ask them how they did it, or to help you get the information. And then chronicle that journey.
And would you say that we're going to look out for you, you know, in the future MasterChef episodes?
I don't know about MasterChef episodes, but for sure you will see me in future episodes of Umami, which is the show I'm producing. You can see me. I mean, the concept of the show is pretty much exactly what I just told you, that I will be interviewing other people so they can teach me. I think it will be quite some time before I get to that master level myself. So I'm perfectly happy to, you know, to be the idiot and let the experts teach me.
Well, as far as I would love to talk more about Umami, I think we're going to leave it out for the next podcast episode once it's out and running.
That's right. That's another book.
Exactly. So once again, Sandy, thank you so much for your time. Until the next episode, bye for now.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. This way it can improve our searchability, reach out, and impact more people too. The waitlist is now open for the Podcast Academy, an on-demand online course where I'll show you how to start, grow, build, and launch your future podcast. The website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. Again, the website is thedrivetosucceed.com/podcasting. Once again, thank you for listening. Bye for now.